Right. Luke read to us the story of the procession that came from Bethpage down the Mount of Olives on that day that is traditionally called Palm Sunday. And of course, today is Palm Sunday, the day we remember that event that took place 6 days prior to the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus. Friends, when Jesus came down the mountain, the Bible says he was met with a cacophony of sound. There was exuberant praise before him, and the crowds that followed after him were filled the earth rang with praises. And it didn't stop on the Mount of Olives, because the Bible tells us that it continued down towards the temple where he went into. The people were still praising him. People were being healed in the temple. And then the children were praising him as well. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the scribes and the Pharisees, when they heard that, the Bible says they were indignant. And Jesus turned to them and said, "Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise?" The question I want to ask us all this morning, are you a praising Christian? Are you a praising believer? The Bible says it is out of the abundance of your heart that your mouth will speak. So what's in your heart will come out of your mouth. And the Bible tells us that praise is the fruit of our lips. In other words, we can't praise God unless we speak his praise. And this morning I want to talk about praise. I want us to relive those events that took place there on Palm Sunday, or what we call Palm Sunday, and talk about praise. There are 7 Hebrew words for praise. And what I want to do this morning, I want us first of all to look at what praise consists of. And then we're going to look at what praise does, if we've got the time. Is that okay? So what praise consists of? Are you working it from the back there, guys? All right, well, let me try this first, and if it doesn't work, carry on. Because don't confuse me, Darren. I'm confused enough. What praise consists of? 7 Hebrew words that describe praise. And a study of these words gives us a visible picture, really, of what praise, or what true praise, really consists of. The first word, put it up, Darren. Is yada, yada. And it really means to extend or to lift up the hands or to throw out the hands in worship. Psalm 63 verse 3 and 4 says, "Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. Thus will I bless you. I lift up my hands in your name." Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you lifted up your hands in worship to the Lord? Well, bless God, some are saying this morning. This morning. It's part of our worship, lifting up our hands. It's a sign of surrender. It's a sign of dependence upon God. You know, friends, I can remember the first time that I lifted up my hands as a new Christian in praise and worship to God. Let me tell you, something was released in me. Something was released when I expressed myself by lifting up my hands to the Lord. The Bible says, "I will lift up my hands in your name." So praise is lifting up of the hands. There's also another word for praise, and if you can put it on, Darren, it's todah. It's the same root meaning as yada. But this time, praise is accompanied by declaration, by confession, by what we say. Toda is thanking God for what he has done for us and what he's going to do. Do you know the difference between praise and worship? Praise is thanking God for what he has done and what he is going to do. Worship is thanking God for who he is. That's the difference. We praise God for what he has done and what he is going to do. The Bible says praise is the fruit of our lips. So praise is vocal. It's something that we speak out. So yada is praise accompanied by confession, by declaration, by speaking out. You know, friends, when you praise God, the Bible tells us that the tongue is the most unruly thing there is in our bodies. And we've got to tame the tongue because the Bible says it's full of deadly poison. 1 minute we can bless God, and the next minute we can curse somebody else. And we're all in that category sometimes. But you know what happens when you praise God? Your tongue is not polluted. You are speaking the praises of Almighty God. The devil can't contaminate you. The devil can't contaminate your mind when you are praising God with your mouth. The Bible says, oft times we are snared by the words of our mouths. But isn't it a wonderful thing when we can begin to praise God with our mouths? As a new believer, I'd never ever praised God before. I'd sang some hymns, but I'd never really praised God. But as a new believer, I can remember what it was to praise God with my mouth, to declare the wonderful things that he'd done and that he was doing for me. The next one is halal. We get the root word, or the root word for halal is hallelujah. It means to boast, to be exalted, to celebrate. So this word denotes a tremendous explosion of exuberant praise to God. Halal. It's praise that sometimes you can't contain. When you're at a football match and somebody scores a goal, there is an halal in the crowd. There is exuberant thanksgiving for the goal that's been scored. Isn't it amazing that people lose all the inhibitions when they go to a football match? Come into the house of God and they're like statues. Stone slabs. The Bible says if we don't praise him, the very rocks will cry out. You know, friends, when David came into Jerusalem and the ark of the Lord came in, the Bible says he danced before the Lord. In other words, this halal, it gets hold of your feet. It gets hold of your hands. Praise is not just something that you do. Praise is with the Bible says, with my whole being, I will bless the Lord. I will praise you. And so when you have an halal, well, there's just an excitement and an exuberance in your prayers. When halal is in the heart, nothing can stop it. Hallelujah. It'll flow out of your mouth. We used to sing a song, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a dancing. Praise God. Friends, praise is not just something that we say. Praise is part of us. It's a part of our being. Then we have the word shabak. That means to command, to triumph, to give a loud shout unto the Lord. The word of God declares, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Sometimes it is very appropriate to give out a loud shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, friends, when an army had won a battle, when the victorious army, the battle was over, the person, the enemies were slain, there would be a loud shout of victory in the army, in the camp. It's a tremendous thing when we come at times into the presence of God and we can give a loud shout of praise. Amen. Sometimes Colin, is Colin here this morning? You're required, yeah. Sometimes Colin will burst out with an hallelujah. How many have heard Colin with his hallelujahs? Yeah. You know, friends, that is the loud shout. That is the shabak. This shout of command, this shout of victory. Praise God. It's a shout that penetrates the powers of darkness. Hallelujah. There is something in the atmosphere. There is something, friends, that breaks in the atmosphere when you give out a loud shout, a barak to the Lord, a shabak to the Lord. The next one is barak. And that means to kneel, to bow in adoration, or to bless the Lord. It's not a begging attitude. It's an expectant one. When we come into the presence of God and we bow the knee to Him, we bow ourselves before Him with expectant hearts. You know, friends, to be in His presence, sometimes He deserves us just kneeling before Him, bowing before Him, expecting Him with our hands lifted up. God, that You might come and that You might touch my life. The Bible tells us that, friends, it is a good thing to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And it goes on about Him healing our life and saving us from destruction. It's a good thing to bless the Lord. And that's what barak means. It means to bless the Lord. The next one is zema, and it means to touch the strings. Obviously, it's giving reference to musical instruments to be used in praise and worship to the Lord. Thank God for our music team. Amen? Friends, no praise can be can continue very long without the help of the musical instruments. And this is the word zamar, to bless the Lord on the strings, to praise God on the instruments. It's impossible, friends, to you know, give the importance of our music team leading us into the presence of God. You know, when David played the harp to Saul, the Bible says the evil spirit that was upon Saul left him. Let me tell you, when our musicians, anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit, begin to play, something could break in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. And we need to pray for our musicians that God will anoint them as their leaders into the very presence of God. Then the last one is tehillah. That means to sing. Now, all singing is praise, but tehillah is really singing your halal. It's exuberant praise. It's coming from the depths of our being. God manifests Himself in the midst of exuberant singing. You know, there is singing and there is singing. You can sing words, but there's something different when the words that you're singing are part of your prayers. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. In Ephesians, we are told to sing unto the Lord in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Notice that. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. All songs, psalms are spiritual, hymns are spiritual, but that's not what it's meaning. the word of God says we are to sing unto the Lord a new song. Even praise to our God. Tehillah is not just a spirited song, but it's a song of the Spirit. Oft times unprepared, unlearned, just an outburst of spontaneous joy from your spirit for what God has done. So Paul said, I will sing with my understanding, and I will sing with my in the spirit. What he was talking about, singing in a song, a new song, that he'd never learned, he'd never been taught, but it was coming from his spirit. This was his Tehillah. This was a spirited song. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. Friends, let me tell you, God will inhabit the Tehillah of his people. It takes us into the presence of God. So don't be ashamed when we come together to worship the Lord. If somehow after we've sung the songs with our understanding, we begin to break out in songs of the Spirit. Singing unto the Lord a new song. Hallelujah. I really believe, friends, that God, that Tehillah is really the climax of our praise and our worship unto the Lord. So these are seven aspects of praise. And I believe that all of them were there on the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that donkey. When he came down from Bethpage down the Mount of Olives, I believe that all this praise, the lifting up of the hands, the bowing before him, the Bible says they spread garments on the road, the great shout that was going on, what a cacophony of noise there must have been that day. The earth must have rang as the people were praising God with every fiber of their being. There are only two times to praise the Lord. Only two times. The first one is when you feel like it. And you know what the second one is, don't you? When you don't feel like it. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall... What's that word continually mean? All the time. Does it mean when you're having a bad day, you don't praise him? It means continually. His praise shall continually be on my lips. You know, we sometimes find it difficult to praise God when we're going through the mill, when circumstances are against us. Let me tell you, that's just the time we ought to be praising the Lord. When we don't feel like it, when everything is against us, it's then that we ought to be praising the Lord with every fiber of our being. It's got nothing to do with our feelings. If you wait for your feelings to tell you to praise the Lord, you might be waiting a long time. You praise God when you feel like it, and you praise God when you don't. Because he's worthy. Amen. He that has done great things for us is worthy of our praise. So praise is vocal. It's not only vocal, it involves our whole being, our whole body. I've got a firm belief, friends, that there are many of us that need just a release in prayers. Release in prayers. Abandonment in prayers. If you've never praised the Lord before, can I encourage you, brothers, sisters, if you are born again, you've got great cause for rejoicing. Your name is in the book of life. Who like me, the hymn writer said, can sing his prayers? Was it Charles Wesley penned that hymn? I'll praise my maker while I breath, and when my life is lost in death, praise shall employ my noblest powers. My days of praise will never be past while earth and being and eternity last. We're going to leave this life praising him, and we're going to praise him in eternity because he's worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's for a few minutes look at We've looked at what praise consists of. Let's look at what praise does. What does praise do? We've just finished a series on fully dressed, when we've been looking at Ephesians 6 and the armor of God, putting on the armor of God and putting some things off. Well, praise is a tremendous weapon that God has given to the children of God. Praise is a wonderful weapon that he has given to believers. First of all, let me tell you what praise does. It silences the devil. My Bible tells me that he is the accuser of the brethren. And you know, friends, the devil is always trying to silence us. Do you know why? Because he hates praise. Because do you know what praise does? It glorifies Jesus. And he hates anything that glorifies Jesus. So he will do anything he can to stop us praising the Lord. But praise is a weapon that God has given to us to silence the devil. Psalm 8, verse 1 and 2. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Because of your enemies, you have silenced the enemy and the avenger. Notice in verse 2 here, it's talking about enemies in plural. We don't just have one enemy as believers. We have got many enemies. Most of us here will never confront the devil himself. The devil is only in one place at one time. He's not omnipresent like God is. Sometimes we give the devil too much credit. Friends, the devil, most of us here, if not all of us, perhaps have never had an encounter with Satan like Jesus had when he was in the wilderness. But we do encounter evil spirits, principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this present evil age, that the Word of God tells us they are our enemies in Ephesians chapter 6. They are the ones that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So evil spirits are our enemies, and there are many of them. But let me tell you, there are more angels for us than evil spirits against us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? But we are in a battle, as we have looked at in recent weeks. We are in warfare. And God has given us this wonderful weapon of praise. Notice for what for? That you might still the avenger and the enemy, which is a direct reference to Satan. That you might still them. In other words, it's telling the devil to shut up. When you praise God, you are telling the devil to shut up. Because of Satan and his many demons coming against believers, God has ordained this method for believers to silence him. That you might still the avenger and the enemies. And the way God does it is out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. The weakest. That's what that verse is referring to. It's interesting that Jesus used this verse when he was accused of the infants crying out in the temple and praising him, when he made that declaration. He said this, and he changed the words that we read in Matthew 21, verse 16. When he quoted these words, he changed what Psalm 8, verse 2 was saying. He said, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Now, Jesus didn't misquote what the psalmist was saying. He was basically interpreting what David was saying. And this is what the Lord said. Praise is the ordained strength that from God that silences the devil and his hosts. That's what the Lord was saying. He said, when you praise him, it silences the enemy. You know, friends, when you praise God, the enemy can't stop in your presence. Evil powers can't stop where praise is. They hate it. And when there is praise released from you, the enemy has got to flee. And people are released. Hallelujah. You have an enemy, but God has given you a mighty weapon. You know, when Jehoshaphat led the armies of Judah out to this great army that was coming against them, the Lord said, send the singers out first. Send Judah out first. And without raising a weapon, they went out and they began to sing and they began to praise God. And what did God do? He set ambushments against the enemy. They began to turn upon themselves. And God wrought a mighty victory in Israel that day. Praise is powerful. It silences the avenger. It silences the enemies that come against us. Secondly, when we praise God, we clothe ourselves with a garment. Isaiah 61 verse 3 tells us that God has given us a threefold exchange. He has given us, the Bible says, beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness or despair. Satan has got weapons that are destructive. They maim and they destroy. And I think one of the most effective weapons Satan uses against mankind, or the powers of darkness use against mankind, is a spirit of heaviness or a spirit of despair. We've got another word for it today. We call it depression. And God knows how many people suffer with depression. God knows how many people, friends, are their lives are ruined by it. This heavy black cloud that comes and sits upon them. Jesus has given to every believer a way out of depression. And I say this with the full authority of the Word of God. The weapon that he has given you, if you get depressed, is the weapon of praise. He has given you a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. But you've got to put it on. You've got to choose to wear it. You've got a will to wear it. Like every morning we wake up and we choose what clothes we're going to put on. We've got to choose, friends, to put on this garment of praise, whether we feel like it or whether we don't. When we feel depressed, do you feel like praising God? No, you don't. That's when you need to use the weapons that God's given you, which are mighty, the Word of God says, to the pulling down of strongholds. And depression can be a stronghold. Put on the garments of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Then praise leads the believer in the triumph of Christ. Psalm 106 verse 47. Save us, O Lord our God. Gather us from amongst the heathen to give thanks unto your holy name and to triumph in your praise. This verse applies not only to Israel, but also to the church. Save us, O Lord our God, from amongst the heathen. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we've been saved this morning? That somehow God has got hold of our lives. He's brought us out of darkness into light. To give thanks unto your holy name. That's why we've been called out of darkness into his most marvelous light. To triumph in his praise. Notice, we are to triumph in his praise. It's important that we understand what the word triumph means. There's a great difference between victory and a triumph. A victory is the accomplishment of the defeat of the enemy. It's winning the battle. It's silencing the foes that are against us. A triumph involves more than a victory. A victory makes a triumph possible. A triumph is a celebration of a victory that's already been won. Stay with me. On VE Day, there was a triumph. There was a celebration that took place on VE Day of a victory that had been accomplished in Europe. Hitler had been defeated. VE Day celebrated the victory. It was a triumph. The Bible says, we triumph in his victory. A triumph was the highest honor that was given to any successful Roman general. The Senate would take a vote if a general came back victorious from the field of conquest. The Roman Senate would sit and they would take a vote. And they would vote to give that general a triumph to celebrate his victory. A special triumphal chariot would be prepared, led by two of the finest horses, that would parade itself through the streets of Rome. And Rome would be declared on that day a holiday. No work done. Everybody would have a holiday as they celebrated the triumph of the general. People would line the streets. They would applaud the conquering general as he came in his chariot, followed by his army that had conquered the foes. And the people in the streets would applaud and triumph the victory that had been won. Behind his soldiers, there would be the conquered soldiers in chains, the rulers, the kings, the lords that had been conquered. They would come first, bound in chains. And they would be followed by the armies of those that they'd conquered, all bound in chains. And then there would follow the plunder of what had been taken from the enemies. There would be lorry loads of goods and plunder that had been taken, the gold and the silver that had been conquered and brought. It was a tremendous day. Paul alludes to triumph, this triumphanology. In Colossians 2, verse 15, he says, Jesus, having disarmed principalities and powers. Friends, at the cross, he won the victory, triumphing over them by his death on the cross. Hallelujah. And here the word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. What a privilege is ours. Friends, the victory's been won. We are called to triumph in the victory. To celebrate the victory that has already been accomplished. Figuratively speaking, it's getting into the chariot with Jesus. Hallelujah. And marching through the principalities and powers who have been conquered. Hallelujah. Friends, Satan is a defeated foe. The horse of darkness, when Jesus said, it is finished. Not only was salvation finished, but the powers of darkness, the Bible says he disarmed them. He took the weapons off them. Isn't it amazing that they still carry on and fight us, eh? They still intimidate us. If only we could see the triumph that is ours in Christ. When we praise him, friends, we are triumphing in Christ. We are not fighting the battle. We are celebrating the fact that the battle has already been won. We are being led in the triumph of Christ. Hallelujah. Don't you realize why Satan and his horse, they hate you praising God? Because it's telling what God has done. It's speaking of the triumph of Christ whenever we open our mouths to praise him. It brings revelation too. Psalm 49 verse 4, it says, I will open my dark sayings upon the harp. Praise opens us up to supernatural revelation. When we begin to praise God, revelation begins to flow to us. It's usually out of praise that the three gifts of revelation begin to operate. The words of wisdom, discerning of spirits, and the word of knowledge. They begin to operate as we begin to praise the Lord. Praise opens us up to be receptive to the word of God. It brings revelation. Friends, I've said it before that we sometimes come into a prayer meeting and the Bible says we don't know what we need to pray for as we ought. And we've learned that we don't have to go through a shopping list. But I've learned that when we enter into his presence and we begin to praise the Lord, suddenly revelation begins to come upon this one, upon that one, of what we ought to pray for. And we've never even thought of it before we've got into the prayer meeting. But suddenly as we begin to praise God, revelation begins to come upon us of what needs to be prayed for. And so we begin to pray the prayers of God after him. Hallelujah. He puts in our hearts what we should be praying for. Friends, our meetings should be full of praise. Our public gatherings, when we gather together here, they should be filled with praise because it releases something of the supernatural amongst us. It releases the revelation of God amongst his people. I'm going to rush on. Next one, praise prepares us for the miraculous. We are a supernatural people. When the devil comes against us, praise always points the way out. The Bible says, whoever offers praise glorifies me. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God. The salvation referred to there is more than just being saved. It's talking about, friends, divine healing. It's talking about deliverance from satanic attack. It's talking about complete deliverance from God in body, soul, and spirit when we talk about salvation. When we offer praise to God, we should look for a demonstration of his salvation and of his deliverance. Hallelujah. When we praise God, friends, we prepare a way for God to intervene. Do you need God to intervene? Try prayers. In fact, don't try it. Just praise God. You know, when Jonah was in the belly of the fish, sometimes we wait until we've got the answers before we praise him. Sometimes we wait until things are different before we begin to praise God. But before Jonah got any answers, he thought he was going to die in that fish. The Bible says, in the belly of the fish, he began to praise God. And when he began to praise God, God opened the mouth of the fish and it spewed him out onto dry land. Hallelujah. When Paul and Silas were in prison, the backs were bleeding. And at midnight, the Bible says, there was no deliverance, friends. They got lashes on them. They were sore. But at midnight, at the darkest hour, the Bible says they began to sing praises to God. And what did God do? Those prison doors flew open. The prison began to shake. Friends, praise will bring your deliverance. Praise will prepare you for the miraculous. Hallelujah. Number 6, God inhabits our praises. But you are holy, Psalm 22, verse 3. You that inhabit the praises of Israel. The word inhabit, it means to sit or to reside in a place. You know, Jesus is king whether we praise him or not. Do you believe that? But you know what you do when you praise him? You prepare a throne for him to sit on. You prepare a way for God to come. Any service without praise is pointless. Praise releases the Spirit of God amongst us. Friends, praise is beautiful. Hallelujah. And it releases something of God into our midst. Praise sanctifies the atmosphere. It brings God because he inhabits, the Bible says. He comes and resides. You know, there's something about singing and singing. As I was, it came to me again when I was sitting there this morning, but in the middle of the night I woke up and I was thinking about this morning. And my mind went back to the days of when I first got converted in Bishop Auckland. And one thing that struck me before I became a Christian, I walked into an atmosphere where people were singing. And I'd never heard singing like it. And something began to affect my spirit. Something began to affect my spirit. The Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song. It says that God will come and inhabit that praise and worship. When we sing, friends, let me tell you, it's more than just singing words. God Almighty comes. He inhabits the words that we are singing. It creates an atmosphere of God. The Bible says many will see it and will fear, and they will put their trust in the Lord. There is something about praise, friends. There is something about singing unto the Lord that will cause people who are not Christians to feel something of God in the church. Something of God in the atmosphere. It brings the presence of God into our services for God to inhabit. And finally, praise is the way into the presence of God. Oftentimes we feel far off from God. We sometimes feel God's distant. But the Word of God says if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And praise is the way. It's the protocol that we come into his presence. The Word of God says in Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We come through the way of the gate of thanksgiving. And we come into the presence of God, the awesome presence of God, in no other way than through praise. Praise and singing is the way that we enter into God's presence. We don't come with our petitions. We don't come with our problems. We come before his presence with singing. We come into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. If you were to visit the Queen, you would have a protocol of how you would approach her. How you would be talked, you would be told how you would approach the Queen. The Bible tells us how we approach the King of Kings. We enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. We enter his court with praise. So let me ask you this morning, friends, are you a praising Christian? Are you a praising Christian? Does praise not only fill your life in here, but is our life a life filled with praise? It's not just for when we're here on a Sunday morning. It's for our whole lives. How we approach God on a daily basis, how we live our lives, can be a praise to the Lord.